This episode of Super GG Radio is brought to you by our Patreon. Patrons of the show can get our Dogs of Super GG Radio newsletter, Super GG Radio stickers to slap on your closest PC or bag, input on what we cover, game nights with the hosts, and even a chance to win a copy of an indie we talked about. Not only that, but 90% of all patron contributions go to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. Visit patreon.com/superggradio to learn more.
What's good, internet, and welcome to session 254 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I'm your host and most super of the GGs, Eric Getty Gettinger. With me, as always, is Meat Popsicle of the podcast, Alex Arona.
Top five movie of all time, Fifth Element. Ruby Rod! Being super green over here.
I'm right there with you.
Right, 7 out of 10.
It hurts my face.
Some of the best things are 7 out of 10.
You hurt my face.
Not this podcast, that's for sure. Well, next up, nothing beats man forced to go back in time to stop the apocalypse. Joel DeWitt.
You know, what's really sad is I had all this time to think about something, and I'm still thinking, like, what's a story about a man going back in time to stop
just
the apocalypse,
name,
and it's like Chrono Trigger.
Name the movie.
You go back in time to stop the apocalypse.
Name the movie.
Terminator.
Nope.
John Connor.
Nope. Try
John
again.
Connor.
These all have a theme.
Fifth Element.
Let me read off Alex, and then figure out if you can get it. And now let's not forget the amazing, the indestructible, the unbreakable, except for his weakness to water, Alec Parks.
Bruce Willis movies.
Uh-huh. So what's yours?
Yeah, what's yours?
Apocalypse Now?
Nope.
Oh. What was the game?
Armageddon.
Nope. This is too much fun.
Sixth Sense.
His game was Apocalypse.
Yes, that. I think this my store still has a copy of that game somewhere.
I like that game.
Alec, do you want to guess what it was? Do you know which one Joel's is?
I do not, in fact.
Was he Looper?
He was, but that's not this movie. Okay. Alex, you want to?
You know, I don't
I'll give
feel
you
bad
a hint.
Since it's not just
I'll
me.
Give you a hint. It's a number and an animal. Come on.
A number and an animal. Okay, hold on. This is...
All right.
Nine monkeys. Or there's something monkeys. It's a number.
How many monkeys? There you go. 12 monkeys.
I knew it was in multiples of three.
Underrated film. Go back and watch it. They even made a TV show based around it.
I don't remember the time travel element.
Really? He's like going back in time
I saw it when it came out. I was a child.
You're still a child, but that's neither here or there.
Now, Four Rooms.
That was excellent.
I don't know if he's credited in that film.
I don't think he is.
Yeah,
I remember...
Oh, yeah, it is uncredited.
Yeah.
He definitely was pretty... He's just in the background swearing.
Mm-hmm. When you just take a minute to think about it, Bruce Willis is in a lot of films.
Beavis and Butthead Do America...
That might have been his finest work.
Nah,
man.
Can't
Die Hard,
disagree
that,
more.
Die Hard 1 and 3.
Yeah.
I'll take Die Hard 3.
I forgot about that.
What, you forgot Die Hard?
I haven't seen him.
What?
Really?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
Die Hard 1 and 3.
Joel needs to leave to go watch Bruce Willis movies for the rest of the episode.
Like Hudson Hawk, you can kind of...
I loved Hudson Hawk.
I liked Hudson Hawk as a kid, too.
Look who's talking.
All right.
But so, about my weakness to water,
mm-hmm.
I found out that if you Google how much water does it take to drown, you get a lot of anti-suicide ads.
Yeah, that seems legit.
Oof. Yeah, but it's only a teaspoon or a tablespoon that it takes to trigger the drowning reflex.
Mm-hmm.
News to
me. You just got
to
get it in your lungs.
Yep.
His was Unbreakable.
Yeah. That was an easy one.
And the following two other films.
Mm-hmm. Except for, yeah.
We're he was in that second there. One. Just like, he was the stinger.
He was, yeah, barely in it. And then the third one, you know, nobody watched that. Except for maybe Alex.
Yeah. The whole 10 it was, yards.
He was in that.
Ooh, I like that one.
All right.
Lucky number 11, we're just having.
Moving into the episode. This week we hop off the elevator in Early Adopters, talk some smack with the news, then we get a 20-minute recap of Vampire Survivors in the backlog. Somebody purchased the DLC that just came out today, so I assume that's what he did all afternoon.
Someone wrote no, Fallout I work. 3 times.
It's a work day.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Sure. Uh-huh. You're not using it to
so many Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations.
And then in the background,
I'm very important.
So many seizure warnings.
Is that what we're going with? We're all replaceable.
Oh, so replaceable.
Yep. Again, I'm working on AI for all of you.
Except for himself.
No, not for me.
He needs to have someone to talk to.
I'm irreplaceable, baby.
He says that, but I've had thoughts. All right, let's mosey along to Early Adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games that have weaponized cats on cleaning devices. Guys, I'm talking about cats on Broombas. Did you play Cats on Broombas?
Sure did. It's pretty good.
Is it just close enough to the word Roomba that you felt uncomfortable?
It was legally distinct.
I'm more impressed that they found that clever wordplay, and it's a one letter add on, which is all the better for it.
Yeah.
This so Cats on Broombas is quite a simple puzzle game. The premise being, in this little map, you're introduced to these little maps, and you've got a pixel cat that is on a Roomba, and objects that you can place around on the carpet. That's your whole play area. And when your Broomba is going forward, it'll run into an object, it'll turn left, and then it will continue on. The objective of each stage is to collect the stars that are there. But boy, let me tell you, it's just too much fun to watch the cat on the Broomba.
I've always wanted to witness a cat on a Roomba.
Now, my giant fear of the Roomba is that one time the cat goes outside the litter box and the Roomba tries to pick it up and it just spreads it all over the house.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
That's my fear. I will never get an electronic vacuum for that reason.
For the poop
that
smearing.
Is disgusting but hilarious at the same time. I can't imagine coming home to that horror. It's everywhere. It's in the carpet.
Did it get in the carpet?
Like, digs it into the carpet.
So question, do you try to clean out the Roomba or do you throw it all out and buy a new one?
Oh, you throw it away.
You gotta get you a new one.
Yeah.
And you burn the carpet.
It's tainted, man.
Puzzles are very simplistic to start, and then it just starts to ramp up the difficulty of the puzzles, and you're introduced to balls, like a bouncy ball, and you can run into it multiple times, and it'll just move it in the direction that you have run into it. So some of the puzzles require that you utilize these bouncy balls to position yourself, and then you know, make a couple of laps around the carpeted area just to get the stars. How far did you guys make it on your Broomba?
I got to the last part of the tutorial. That very last one where he says, put you to the test, and then I failed the test. the items really become critical, and you got the books and the vases that it is just a hard like stop and pivot turn, and then you got the balls that will shift a tile each time, and you had to do a really clever thing when they first show it, which was putting one against the other, and so like the force that you input on the first one would transfer to the last one and push that out and keep the middle ball straight. There's a term for that that is escaping me right now.
They say it in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
it's like playing, it's like a little pool ball situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, it is forgiving enough in that they will give you a view of, if you play this right now, this is where the cat is going to go after they ricochet off this part and this item. And it's also easy enough to where if you see things are going wrong, you can hit a pause button and it'll start it right over at the beginning to give you a chance to readjust or tweak things. I didn't notice, is there a option to like turn the camera?
No, there's not.
No.
Okay.
No. But so I suppose that system is pretty good, though.
I suppose that's system. Purposeful. Then it wasn't a hindrance. It was just one of those, like one of those moments in the last one. I went, I should really use a nice turn and have a different perspective right now to help guide it a little bit. But
yeah, Alex was saying that the hint system was crazy. So did you use the hint on the last stage then?
I didn't.
Okay.
Time got past me. I did accidentally run into the hint system, though. Right?
It's a magnifying glass over the puzzle.
Right.
And as you move it around, you can see like different pieces of where things go on the puzzle to solve the puzzle.
Yeah. So I stumbled.
As somebody who is not good at these games,
who
was very happy to have the hint system.
Oh.
Did you find yourself stuck a lot?
More often than I'd like.
That last stage, for sure. That one, that was the first time I used it.
Even get there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how far the demo extends, but I did make it to... So everything leading up to that is just the prologue, and then you get a whole nother area that's unlocked after it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I want to spend a little bit... Alec, do you have any input on your Broomba?
No. No, everything's been covered.
So the one thing that I did want to mention that gave the game kind of like a weird vibe is that it starts off with a kid reading a letter, and
he's writing in his journal.
Felt very like... horror genre-esque to me. I don't know what it was.
It was this sort of hollow tinny sound, like he was using an old radio or walkie-talkie to talk to you.
And also he's like really kind of like hamming up the little kid stuff a little bit, where he's like, it's no big deal, and I figured I'd tell you because you're not going to tell anybody. Like very like up. You know,
but
very, like,
then I was waiting for like the puzzles to start and then the floor to drop out and it'd be like, and then like fire erupt. There's the devil in the background, like trying to poke the cat on the Broomba. Maybe I just have an overactive imagination,
indie game. It'll be a metaphor for grief and lost a loved one somehow.
Yep.
Yeah. That's why I play these games.
What's really cool, though, is this was built using MS-DOS.
Oh, really?
So this was all emulated and using MS-DOS and everything, and so it's all chiptune. It's pretty cool how they went through that.
The chiptune soundtrack was good.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely like this one.
Speaking... Getty wishlisted it?
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
How about you guys?
Yep. I got through the intro area and was like, well, I'm going to get it, so why start playing the rest of the levels now?
I just know myself. I'm not good at these games.
Interesting question. How much do you think that this will go for? It feels like it's a five, maybe?
I was thinking $9.99.
Yeah, that's a good sweet spot.
Yeah, I could definitely purchase it day one.
Right, Alex? Day one Gettinger.
I wish. I could be playing Stellar Blade on day one, but I'm responsible. Very unresponsibly, I threw this other game in for early adopters this week. Hey guys, let's talk about Wreck. And I want to know Alex's thoughts on Wreck.
I was in a meeting from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
And then?
I had to rush and get the dog out. I had to make dinner. I had to do a whole thing. I was going. I finally like sat down 15 minutes before this podcast, and I was like, I'm like fried. I don't want to do anything. And I was like, well, let's hit play on this demo, which I'm really not in the mood for. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, you can you're supposed to shoot and kill these enemies, but also you can just shoot through holes in walls and shoot and like just punch holes in walls and do all this stupid stuff. And I was like, all right, okay, yeah. All of a sudden I was like, I'm smiling a lot. This is a lot of fun. This game sure is a lot of fun. So I was like right up to the end of like, oh, we're about to start the podcast. And I was like, oh, I should probably stop playing this game.
So yeah. It reminded me a lot of what would happen if you mixed Hotline Miami with voxels.
Yep. Yep. Very much like the Minecraft graphical, sensibility. Also, what was it? What was that game where the wrecking?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. I can't remember the name.
Where everything is destructible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching Joel play it.
And that's very much that similar idea that everything is destructible. I definitely
Tear down.
Yeah, I found myself like punching holes in the wall or in the floor. At one point, I was punching the floor. Like, I was like, oh, there's just like a giant void below me.
You get stuck on the floor, too, and then you have to punch your way out.
I did. So, yeah, and it's very fast paced. It's a Hotline Miami style. Here's the level. There are 6 enemies. Just go nuts. And I just started shooting holes through walls. I'm like, anybody there? No? Okay. Which, of course, also didn't clear every angle. So I'd shoot a hole in the wall. Anybody there? And then I'd go around the corner and die.
it's a little forgiving. You could get like shot once or twice,
yeah,
before it really gave you a problem.
But it was definitely like a lot of fun. I think that like the start and stop nature, the restart, just hitting R and just moving on. It's really, really like just fast paced. I like a good like, oh, I could sit down, play 2 levels, and it's like 15 minutes went by and I could just put it down again.
Yep.
Yeah, super quick and zippy.
Did you play on Steam Deck or on a PC?
I was on PC.
Yeah, PC. You couldn't play it on the Steam Deck because it doesn't support controller.
That's right. Yeah, that was my problem with this game.
Yep, I don't know where my WASDs are.
Guys.
What happened to you guys?
Get good.
What happened that you forgot you lost your WASDs?
We got video game domesticated. That's
yep.
Oh my god.
I like my controllers.
Can I tell you, after Alex has been griefing me so much about the games that I have sitting on his Trello board, I was like, you know what? I'm going to install Witchfire. And then I was like, and I'm going to play it with the mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a pretty good time with that. But man, you got to get back on that mouse and keyboard.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to.
It's a skill issue.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Some games I will play with controller, like some shooters, but like for the most part, it's like it's got to be WASD.
You know, the sick part is when I'm at work, that is my natural hand placement.
Oh, yeah.
Is left hand on the keyboard, right hand on the mouse.
Yeah.
And? You're just too important to transfer that over to video gaming?
No, too lazy. I like to sit on the couch.
There you go. Well, you could get a wireless keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, get one of those lap desks.
Ooh, there you go.
Wireless keyboard and mouse.
No, I'll send you some Amazon
enough stuff here.
Okay, let's send you
not enough stuff.
I'll send it to Kelly, and then she'll get it for you. Oh again. No! Oh, I typed the wrong. Google doesn't just do what I wrote.
Let's not find out what Alex wrote. But let's take a second and also talk about the opening to Wreck. It felt like completely disjointed. I don't know what it is with the openings of the games this week, but Wreck, it starts out and it's like, oh, in the future, you've got crime, and it's like a really dramatic.
And the camera is like circling a voxel globe and.
Uh-huh. And it really makes you think that it's going to be something, I don't even know what I thought it was going to be. But then you get into it, and I think at one point it even says in the level, it's like, it's the 1980s. And I was like, what, can we go back to the opening? I thought it was the future, but...
Yeah, I thought it was too.
But yeah, this wreck is the silly kind of fun where you can, you know, play your way. You can shoot through walls. It's got, this is a real throwback, but Red Faction. If you guys remember Red Faction, that was the first game that I ever played where you could have destructible environment. Yeah. And that's what it made me think of. And, you know, it's got voxels, but it feels really zippy. I would think about getting Wreck. I did not wishlist this one, but it's definitely something that would be enjoyable in quick bursts.
I absolutely wishlisted this on just the merit of being able to play for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting, this seems like a pretty early build of this game. Yeah. So it seems like there's a lot of potential in the future, and it may not come out in the near future, but yeah, keep a lookout for it.
I will be keeping my eye on it.
All right, I guess there's a special game here that only Alex is going to talk about. Hey, Alex, tell me about Psycho, but I want you to spell Psycho P-S-Y-K-O.
Yeah, this was suggested by one of our viewers, an early access game for VR. And this was our, well, we did a beta breakdown on our YouTube channel. Two tries.
That's not bad.
No, not bad. There's been a couple beta breakdowns that took like four tries, and there's some that were recorded and we just like deleted. Like, this is not working. Psycho is a VR game in the vein of like a Time Crisis. You're riding on a motorcycle, and your left hand is, you know, hitting the gas. You're revving. Your left hand is the gas, and the right hand is a gun, and you're shooting at enemies while you're flying down the highway. You can look all around you in 360, but the way you tilt your head is how you turn. So you could turn like, so you just kind of have to like lean a little bit into it. If you like slam into walls or slam into cars, it doesn't hurt you. You have to get shot. And okay. It's in very Time Crisis-y, like PlayStation 2, PlayStation 1 graphics, and you're shooting enemies around you. Also, people will just open their doors, and you can slam into the doors, or enemies can slam into the doors. You can shoot the doors open. People will pop out of cars and start trying to shoot you. Giant trucks with the enemies that you can explode, and they fly past you in slow-mo. There's a lot going on here. A lot of laser traps that you got to shoot, and then... There's definitely a boss in there that's a helicopter with, you know, light up pieces that you have to shoot, and that makes him like, you know, you shoot the weak spot, and then like in multiple phases, and then the helicopter explodes. It's just a fun throwback, and it's a way that for me, like, I was like, oh man, okay, VR still has some good ideas. I think that you could still take a lot of things that we play in like normal times, even like in the past, right? Like, take the past ideas, right? Like, why has Time Crisis not made it to VR?
House of the Dead,
right? Yeah. But Joel, you sat in with me on this one. What did you think?
I thought the aesthetic was pretty cool. It is sort of that vaporwave 80s style across all of it, some sort of cyberpunky aspects to thumping sounding soundtrack, which had a nice tempo to the action taking place, so it didn't feel slow by any means. There's just lots of opportunity for humor. So there are points where Alex was driving around different cars, and then just the door would open and a guy would fall out because he would get hit by the vehicle. And you could shoot at a truck, and it would do the like cool movie slow down as it flips upside down, and then there are two people sitting in the truck that you can aim and shoot at too. So even the build it's at right now, there is a lot of action and good stuff to it. It seems like it's also a good canvas that the developer can build on. Pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that we have spoke to the developer. He's still got some stuff in the pipeline. This is still a project that's definitely still being worked on. But right now, what's there is super fun. It's forgiving enough that it's just like, okay, I'm just going through these levels and having a good time. It makes for like a lot of emergent gameplay when you're seeing these kind of events happen, where like you just see people just slam into each other, motorcycles are flying through the air, because like half the time I don't know what's like, I'm like, because it's full 360, I'm being attacked from behind, but I can't really see. And I'm shooting over at, on the left, and then all of a sudden another guy gets runs into a car, and his motorcycle goes flying to my right. And I'm like, what just happened over there? So it does get pretty chaotic, and that's what I think is makes for that. By the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I have a whole bunch of fun stories about this crazy thing that happened. And the story and voice acting, I can't repeat the things that they said in that game. But when the boss comes out, there's a little introduction from your guy in the radio, and I'm like, oh, I can't say a lot of the things he just said. So, but it's very funny and very stupid and very over the top. Borderline offensive, I can't tell.
Okay. So highly recommend Psycho?
Yeah, I would highly recommend Psycho. It is on Steam. It is free right now while he's still working on the project. But people can go and try it and play it in VR. Works on the MetaQuest 2, which is what I have. So,
you didn't upgrade to the Apple thing?
The thousands of dollars? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I thought you were going to hand in your Meta so that you could get an Apple.
I'm trying to sell the Meta 2 for the Meta 3, baby.
Like trade up?
Yeah, try to trade up.
How's that working out?
Not great.
Okay. Turns out a lot of people that play VR don't
you timed the market VR. Wrong.
Yeah.
I should have sold before the 3 came out, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you could have really gotten in at the ground floor. Oh well. All right. So quick, somebody drop that sick techno beat, so we can get back to the elevator and take a break. This is the news with Super GG Radio, now with 11% more CGI. See if you can spot where the CGI is this week. It's Alex.
It's Alex. Should I do the green screen me again? I have the footage still.
I know we do.
So work on this setup, though? Don't you need to be in the other room?
Oh, look, all of a sudden Alex is in the bedroom.
No, it'd be funnier because, like, what if this is a whole setup? You don't know.
Is it?
We would have seen somebody walking by now.
I mean, I've seen at least two people walk past.
Like, I have to at some point, like, be good about, like, timing. I can't just, like, I can't just rush it.
You're not there yet.
I can't rush it.
I don't get it. But what I do get are the news articles for this week. So let's just, try and make it through all this news.
You seem so thrilled, Getty.
There really isn't that much news.
I don't know where the news finds a home in our podcast. I feel like our strengths are definitely not the news, but, you know.
There's no rumors this week.
No rumors. Yeah.
We're efficient, You're Getty. Welcome. Only talking in fact, about the important
rumors
stuff.
From last week was proven.
Or we just didn't find anything to fraudulently report on.
I mean, most everything is locked up tight before Summer Game Fest.
Most everything else will probably be touched on in the news here in a bit.
All right, let's do it.
News. Nintendo World Championships release is July 18th. The regular copy will be $30. Special edition for $60.
Joel, we're playing this for Extra Life, right?
Who is?
You know what? That's as good of its use as any for me to get it, sure.
I mean, you were going to get it, like, no matter what.
I didn't want to think that, though. Like, I didn't want to think that was going to happen. You know, the problem is that this is basically one of my favorite Wii U games, which is NES Remix, which is more or less little mini snippets of Nintendo games where they give you a small challenge. It's kind of like... WarioWare in terms of being these like quick hit mini games. So one will be just collect all the coins in this one screen as Mario. One would be kill all the Octoroks in the screen, and then as they went on, they got gradually harder and more bizarre. And it would be a wide range of games from Mario to Zelda to Metroid. They had a second one where they got to like Mario 3 and some of the more beloved games past that. And they were just a really fun mini game collection that really did something unique with their properties. You know, there're going to be leaderboards, which is a big important thing about something like this, because that's going to be where all the replayability is at, especially with the branding of Nintendo World Championships. But yeah, July 8th, that might not be a bad time to get a game. Mid-July. Yeah. Nice. That's a nice summer game.
And it again will it'll be fun like for like Extra Life for all of us to just be playing at the same time.
Yeah.
It will be.
It's multiplayer.
I mean, yeah, that's the point.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's for the kids.
I can't argue with that. Yeah. It's for the kids.
I got a poster right here.
For the children.
Yep. All right.
Next.
Next piece of news. Tony Hawk 3 and 4 was proposed, but canceled. You know why? Call of Duty.
At this point, a lot of Call things are being turned into like what makes the most money, and turns out they're really banking on that Call of Duty. After
Does it?
$22 billion.
American?
Wow.
So, yeah, they're trying to make sure that Call of Duty hits, because it has not been hitting last couple of
no.
years. No. So why not cancel it?
Because it's not even the single player that makes money, it's the multiplayer.
Yep.
It's all of the stuff that comes with the multiplayer. It's the microtransactions. It's the skins. It's the tournaments. Yeah, that's what's doing it. Thank God that we still have Call of Duty. You guys play any of those single player campaigns?
I played Modern Warfare.
I keep meaning to go back to
Modern Warfare, like the original?
Yes.
You haven't played anything in the last 10 years.
Which one's
I played Black Ops 2 because it was on the Wii U, and I could play it on the gamepad on the couch, and I thought it was the coolest thing. But then I realized I'm never going to be nearly as good as the kids playing a Twitch shooter like that. So it quickly got put down.
Which one was No Russian?
That was Modern Warfare 2, I think.
Because I was thinking about it, and I was like, those are, like, people say, like, these are, like, some of the best story, like, first-person stories ever. And I keep meaning to, like, go back to them, but I
don't know if they're the best. There's probably a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
Is it No Russian, the one, like, that's, like, people were like, oh, my God.
People were upset about that because of the idea that it was a modern setting and it was a shooting in an airport, I think. If I remember right.
Oh. And you're also evil, right? You're playing as the bad guy.
Yeah, you're an evil guy, or were you like undercover? And then
I thought that it was you were undercover.
Yeah.
You were working for them.
I never played them, so I'm saying I should probably play
and it.
If you're going to play Modern Warfare.
Okay, so it is, because that's like one of those things where it's like NBA 2K12, right? It's like the one I have to play as well, right? Like,
yeah, that's the one that you played it?
I have it. I actually bought it. I got it from somebody.
You got it from Phil for Christmas. I remember the story.
No, someone gave it to me for Christmas.
Okay, I thought it was Phil.
But it was, because that's the Spike Lee one.
Yeah.
And your friend's a ghost.
Yep.
Ah.
No, we know. We all know. Okay. And I'm still waiting for you to play it.
Okay, noted. Yeah, so... Call of Duty. Part of that with the Microsoft layoffs.
Microsoft layoffs? What are you talking about?
And the studio closures.
Alex, how many years did it take for them to decide that Prey 2 isn't going to happen?
Oh, there's a Twitter account that's only like there to tell people, hey, is Prey 2 been announced yet? Nope. And then they just keep doing it, and then finally that studio got closed, and they tweeted out, we're done. It's done.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yep.
Since the first Prey.
Why doesn't Why doesn't Phil Spencer like good games?
Well, I mean, it seems like he likes Fallout 76.
Yeah, and he got what he deserved. Breaking news! Fallout 76 players nuke Phil Spencer's house. His land in Fallout 76. Not necessarily his home that he lives in. Just
it's
his,
real funny to see people get petty on this. Sentence.
Yeah.
People get real petty on this one.
Why? You mean like them doing it?
Them making a point to find and nuke his house.
Yeah, I think that that's an appropriate form of, retaliation. It's not like the people are going out on the internet. Well, these people are probably not going out on the internet and blasting him, but they're definitely blasting his Fallout space. And let's be honest. Does he deserve it? Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit.
Does he deserve his house getting nuked in Fallout?
It's a game. If you're not going to...
That's why I was like, it's kind of funny. It's like, you said, like, you gotta add in Fallout 76.
Yeah. This is one of those things where it was like, when we played World of Warcraft and we would get, ganked, we couldn't be mad because we were on that server. Mm-hmm. Like, it's PvP server. So you just go with it. Like, you get upset, but you just get over it.
The only time I got really tilted is when people would camp out on lower level respawn points.
Yeah.
That was awful sometimes.
Until you got higher level and then you started to do it yourself.
I never did that.
I definitely did that a lot.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Alex was that person.
I was that person. Getty. I put one in here for you, Getty.
Is it Operation Cleanup Begins for Helldivers 2 community?
No, but that's also very funny.
What's Operation Cleanup?
So, because the Helldivers community was mad that you needed the PSN account for anybody on PC, or else you couldn't play the game, so that made it so people in countries where PSN isn't available, they could not play the game. So, they made a campaign to review bomb the Helldivers 2, flooding it with negative reviews. Then they changed the policy where, okay, you don't need a PSN account to play Helldivers 2. Everyone was like, yay, now Operation Cleanup, where they're cleaning up all the negative reviews.
Okay.
It's real dumb. It's real dumb.
A fun little detail is they've got the capes in these games that you can buy as a DLC. And there's some proposals now to make a cape design where it shows the declining review score bar line. So
well, that's pretty funny.
Okay. Yep.
So that's Operation Cleanup. It's a pretty funny idea.
And then the last piece of news, Gundam Breaker 4 release date on August 29th. I think I played some type of Gundam Breaker. I don't know. I don't remember when.
Yeah. It's your favorite, Getty. It's the Gunpla.
Yeah. Who doesn't like some good model building?
Ooh, yeah.
Especially in 3D.
Mm-hmm. That's all the news. So I guess we can move on to freebies?
Yep.
Freebies!
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 Freebies! Wow,
told
guys.
Us where you put the sound.
Jeez. No energy... Freebies, freebies, yeah, woo!
We have a sound effect for this. Joel will be editing and adding the sound
effect. I don't care. I'm going to do it. That's what I get paid for.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
I'm into it.
You're welcome.
Let's do it.
First up, Circus Electrique over on the Epic Game Store. It's a game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna open this up, and what is this game?
I think it is a circus management and also turn-based RPG.
That sounds about right.
The combat looks like Darkest Dungeon. There is cards involved. You're managing a circus. Oh, man, I clicked through this video so long that the whole thing glitched and I can't see anything anymore. Okay.
All right, we'll go with that's what you're doing. You're managing
a circus.
There's
cards for synergies.
And you're battling.
Leveling up and circus management. And also combat that looks like Darkest Dungeon. It's actually very cool looking just because your characters and your party are all based off of, like, circus, like, people like sword swallowers and strongmen and lion tamers and stuff like that. So it's got a pretty cool aesthetic. I'm into it. Adding to cart.
Bam. Next up, Firestone on the Epic Game Store.
This is an online idle RPG. You know, one of them idlers. Alec, you love idlers.
I do, a little bit. And so it's worth noting that the game is always free. What the freebie this week is that they're offering is a $100 DLC pack of gems and other upgrades that you would normally have to unlock throughout the game. Instead of doing that, just here it is. Here's $100 worth of stuff.
So you're saying definitely get it.
Absolutely get it. If for no reason other than to stick it to Epic.
No, but it requires base game.
Which the base game is always free.
Well, okay. Joel, where's your comeback?
I mean, hard drive space. No real. I value hard my
drive
time.
Space for an idler. Your time is meaningless. How much hard drive space do you think it takes up?
Well, how big is the average demo of ours? What, like 20 gigs?
lately they have been.
Yeah. No, my excuse is I probably just won't have time to play it. It looks pretty neat though. Looks very
well, it's an idler, it plays itself.
You know, it looks like it,
number goes up, Joel.
Yeah, it looks like some of the iOS games Kelly plays. So
good. Get it for her then.
Fine.
Especially with that free $100 pack.
Alright.
Number go up.
View in library. I mean, I'm just burning time here. Next game, Sheepy, a short adventure over on Steam.
This is one of them limbo likes where you're going left to right and having environmental storytelling as a sheep, and it's a platformer, an abandoned plushie brought to life, and it looks to be the developer's first ever game. So. It looks pretty cool. It's a little pixel art platformer, just kind of like a limbo.
Yep. Joel, just for context, 209 megabytes. 200. Can you spare 209 megabytes?
In the 90s, that's a lot.
Yep, and that's why we're in the 2020s. Next game, Garten of Banban 1 on Steam.
Hmm?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Alex is on top of things.
This is actually a first person, what they call now, mascot horror. Mascot horror is when you have the horror, like, enemies are the mascots of the game. You know, if you've,
it's Five Nights at
Playtime. Five Nights at Freddy's is what started the mascot horror series. Garten of Banban is another one of those where it's a kindergarten where the people who are running the kindergarten are giant monstrous creatures that look like Play-Doh, and you're there to discover what happened to your child. This, I will let you know right now that this is like the story. It's not a complete entire game. It's I think they're on chapter 4 or 5 right now. Of Garten of Banban, but this is part one of the full series. Each game is probably like an hour or two. Garten of Banban 6 came out in 2023 in December, so there's probably 7 coming out still. So the series is still ongoing. It's still a long-term story. But this is the first game. So if you want to check out and see if you would like to get into the mascot horror of Garten of Banban, there you go. First one's free.
Garten.
First hit's free.
Garten. Okay. Killer Instinct over on Steam.
The classic 2D fighter was remade in 2017. and has since gone free to play. It's beautifully done graphically at Xbox Game Studios, developed by Iron Galaxy Studios.
Ooh. And last one, Rental over on Steam.
This one is one of those PS1 horrors where you're just like a little character and you're going through what seems like a Silent Hill style story and level. You rent a cottage and turns out it isn't all it's cracked up to be.
All right. So we're going to take a break to AI me, and then I don't have to be around anymore. So maybe you'll see me, maybe you won't. And we're back with the backlog blog where we play games. Nope. Fallout 3. I wrote Fallout 3 in the backlog.
Is this the first time you played Fallout 3?
No.
Nope. Okay.
He is
platinum. Is that a real question?
He platinum 3, 4. Did you platinum New Vegas? 6, son of
a... not... No, I played New Vegas twice. And, yeah, I platinumed 4. That's a thing that happened. It's a real thing that happened.
Did it require multiple playthroughs to Platinum 4?
No. Okay. Oh, wait. No, hold on. Yes. Yes, it did. I was like,
the question, how many hours?
On that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, once you figure it out, like, these games, Fallout games, if you just go straight for the story, you can burn through it fairly quickly. For example, I am playing Fallout 3 because I was like, oh, it's the TV show is kind of hype right now, and it was dirt cheap once again on Steam. So I was like, all right, I think it was $2, maybe it was a little bit more than that, but for all of the content. And I was like, I don't know that I ever played any of this DLC back in the day when it came out. So the main story goes that your dad runs away from the vault that you're in, and you're gonna go find him. And you can like skip over parts. I went from Megaton, which is the first town that you get to, and I went straight to Rivet City, and I skipped the whole having to go to the Galaxy Radio, meet three dogs, and then I've just been exploring the wastelands, building up my gear. I did one of the DLCs, Project Anchorage. Never did that before.
Which is alluded to in the show.
Yeah. It's wild stuff. Has anybody here not played a Fallout game before?
I've played the first hour of several Fallout games.
I played like 20 hours of Fallout 3.
Yeah.
No, I'm with Joel. I've played about the first hour of several Fallout games.
Fallout's something where I've always loved the themes and the aesthetic and the humor of it. It's the game. Like, the game is the problem for me. And
not you?
No. This is not a skill issue. This is a Fallout issue.
Okay.
But
I lose the plot in all of these games. All Bethesda games, I lose the plot, and then I just don't know. I don't want to keep doing anything else.
But maybe the poison was welled for me, because my first experience with Fallout was when I got a PlayStation 3. I got that game and Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, well, and then you were just playing Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, it had no chance. It had no chance.
Yeah.
So.
But the charm that comes from Fallout is that you play your way. You can do what you want. Obviously, there's a main storyline that you're going to follow, but you don't have to, again, follow it that closely, or you can just explore. And the cool thing is that it is the ruins, the wasteland of Washington, D.C. So you can go to the different memorials, you can go into landmarks, you can just explore and see what is available. And they tend to do that with all of the games. You are in a setting, you know, and getting to experience what that land is like after nuclear fallout. So obviously,
I think that if I am to get into it, I think I have to do the whole, like, I have to role play it and then, like, just kind of dig into it that way, because I found that some of the longer stretches of, like, going from point A all the way to point B dragged so much for me. And I
sometimes
just kind of...
You gotta zigzag, Alex. You gotta zigzag.
Yeah, because even that, I just, like, so from Three Dog to Rivet City is just this giant, like, amount. I think it was, like, 5 to 6 hours for me.
Doing what?
I just kept getting, like, I was downtown, I'm in the museum, and downtown's where the super mutants are, and then I'm on a building and something else is happening. There was just, stuff kept sidetracking me, and I didn't want it to.
Well, sometimes you just gotta fast travel out of there.
Fast travel while there are enemies nearby, Getty.
Yeah,
you also can't fast travel unless you've discovered the place.
Yeah, you just go back to Megaton and expand your circle from there.
I was trying to get to Rivet City.
Yeah, but it's closer to go to Megaton to get back to Rivet City.
I'd never been.
Okay.
And that map sucks.
Yeah, the map's okay. It's not great. Like, but as far as Fallout maps go.
The point is that I think that, like, I need to just, put myself in that position and just kind of, like, lose myself to the role-playing, as opposed to just, like, try. Like, I'm like, I want to get to the point. I want to get to the story. And it's like, well, I think the story's not as important as, like, just really kind of engaging in that world. And I think that might have been my problem, which is something I've been looking forward to doing at some point, is trying to meet Fallout on its own terms, because trying to meet it on the terms of a video game may be the wrong move.
Well, you know what you need to do. You just need to get to Megaton, get enough explosive skills to set the bomb, and then just leave.
You can just shoot it, can't you?
I suppose.
I thought it was pretty easy just to set that thing off.
Yeah, but I think if you shoot at it while you're in the city,
no,
you're dead.
No, you throw like a grenade and run.
I don't think that that's how they work. I think if you zone out, then nothing happens.
Oh, really?
So I'm pretty sure that you gotta, the easiest way to do it is to get your
explosives
high.
You're just bumming me out
on
this game even more.
Why?
Because I want to throw a grenade and run.
You'll die. It is a full, like, giant nuke. So Megaton has a giant disarmed nuke in the middle of the town. And Fallout 3 has a karma system. You can either do nice things and get better karma, or Joel could be the bad guy. You could just go into a town and just murder people.
Yeah, that would definitely stoke someone's worser instincts.
Setting off a giant nuke. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Fallout, I'm going to stick with it. I don't know how long I will play around in the extra content. It's just more nostalgia, getting to go back and play through something that it's been a hot minute. Let's put it that way. Fallout is not one of my, I'm going to go back and play this game. So when I do, it's like, I'm going to do this. Big bites.
There you go.
But we do have another game in the backlog this week. Joel has decided to grace us with 9 years of Shadows.
Yeah, so, hey kids, like Metroidvanias?
What's that?
I do.
Metroidvanias are 2D platformers where the main goal is to explore an area that is marked on a map by smaller subsections. And you watch screen to screen and explore, and as you explore, you gain new abilities that lets you explore new parts of the map. And there is typically some form of combat as well as boss battles.
Oh, you mean Hollow Knighted.
The best Metroidvania.
You know, I approve of that new naming convention, actually.
You just got Hollow Knighted.
Yeah.
You did get Hollow Knighted.
Yeah. Those are big shoes to fill for 9 years of Shadows. But basically, you play as a woman who is venturing into a castle-ish depths kind of area. The world is losing its color, and she's going there to investigate why and then restore color by killing bosses and opening up different stages in the game. So the main combat itself is very bare bones from the outset. You got your sort of standard attack, which is a halberd swipe. There's a charge up one, and there's a heavy attack. And then there's that kind of backward slide that Alucard does in Symphony of the Night. Always love a good backward slide button. But
it's nice that they have it.
Yeah. It seems kind of boilerplate now. Like any good Metroidvania now has some form of that. So as you go along here, you gain new outfits or armor. It's armor. So, like, you start with this sort of, like, basic paint-colored armor. You then encounter a blue armor, which then allows you to go underwater, as well as enable a sort of mermaid mode where you can go up waterfalls and things like that.
Is the water blue? Or to what extent is the color gone, I guess?
Well, you as you get inside and pick away by that point, you've gained color back. So you get to a point where the change happens, where you get color back, but the story can see is basically like, now you need to contain the darkness here, otherwise it'll spread, you know? So through the bulk of the game so far, it has been color. But that's how they tie abilities to that. So that's one, there's one that's sort of a greenish color that will help protect you from poisonous areas, a fire one that'll have protection from like lava or heat areas, and they both all have the ability, but then they also have special elemental strengths and weaknesses against different monsters around. So like there are areas where if you're using the water element, they'll block it entirely and you need to switch to a different armor. The health system works like this. So there's two red orbs that are your hits, like your health points, but then there's a wider bar that's blue that acts as sort of your mana and shield. And you have this little ghost companion that's a teddy bear floating around that acts as your aim and shoot.
How am I first hearing about the teddy bear? And you've been talking about this game for 3 minutes.
I was focusing on the important thing, the combat.
No. This is the important thing. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
So a funny thing is there's a range attack. It is this teddy bear. It uses this mana pool to shoot at enemies. And there's some that are armored that you have to use it in order to break the armor. As the meter goes down, and if you run out of meter, a little mini meter will show up with a dial. And if you hit the trigger button at the right point, it'll just refill the meter automatically for you. If you don't hit that...
It's pronounced millimeter.
If you don't hit that, then what'll happen is you have to hold down the trigger to do a charge. And the charge is basically her giving the teddy bear a hug. And then it fills...
It's called active reload.
Good!
So,
that's what I wanted. But thank
active
you.
Active reload.
It's nothing but wholesome.
See?
But
teddy bear is essential.
It's the space that leaves you really wide open for attack. So it becomes a real danger point if you use up all your mana. You know, that acts as part of your shield. So if you run out of that mana, whether you're being offensive or defensive, suddenly you just have two hits before you die. So like it is this interesting dynamic of like just trying to gauge when you use your attack power versus just trying to be protective. And that's what kind of makes the combat a little more dynamic than anything else I've found, just because the basic weaponry of what you use is pretty like standard kit.
Well, the active reload?
Yes. Active reload.
It's pretty cool. It's a fun mechanic.
Yeah. It is. And then when you catch it, you feel really accomplished, especially as you're like platform jumping and trying to miss attacks and being in the throes of a ridiculous boss. These boss battles are kind of wild. I mean,
are they?
I mean, some of them are very basic, like you're fighting a troll or you're doing like a duel with somebody who's like same size and scale as you. But there was one that was a huge giant Hydra. And so the Hydras, it would have its different sections where one of them would be that they're turning into fists and trying to pound you. Another one was that they would go away and then give this warning flashing sign of like horizontal and vertical bars, and then they'd shoot out in those areas and you'd have to dodge them and they'd be like blistering speed. And there's another one that was sort of a dragon thing that I fought here today that ended up being just a wild mix of orbs shooting at you, huge lasers and stuff, and then you had to somehow survive all of that and then crack a shield off of him before he could really knock him out. And they're all pretty different. They're pretty dynamic. And some were more challenging than I expected for as far as I was in the game. So like the difficulty scaling is sort of up and down. But all in all, the combat's really good. The exploration's fun with all the abilities that you get to use, including that water one. There's one where you get to sort of travel through a snake way around different levels, and there's a bit of like puzzling for that too. That's kind of neat. And it's, yeah, I mean, there's not too much else to talk through about really. It looks very nice. The music is very calming and relaxing for the most part. There's a lot of music theme stuff, so you're rescuing people inside this place that are all parts of a orchestra or you know, musicians or a band. So that's kind of a funny dynamic too. And yeah, have a good time so far. It's gonna be done here in a bit. And apologies to the developer that had been kind enough to give us a review key, and I hadn't gotten to it till now. So
we'll be back on it.
It happens.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're talking about it.
You know what else we're talking about, Gaddy?
Cats on Broombas.
Guess the dot game.
Oh, yeah?
We played a little bit before the podcast started. Can I tell
what
you
is about this?
It's a Wordle, but for video games, where they give you screenshots.
Can we do that? Can we call it a Wordle? Can't we just call it like a daily puzzle game where you have, what, five, six? You have six opportunities to guess the title of the game. And each time you get a new clue if you didn't guess it correctly. So are you successful at this, Alex?
Well, we all got it. Today's within two tries. Other days, though, there was a couple that I definitely did not make. Which one was
yeah.
it? One of them was like Alundra, which was like a series that's like, oh man, this is an old series for sure. But yeah, you could check out previous days. There's lots of different options. What was it? No, it was Kelowna.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. I remember that one.
I do too, but do you know how many there are?
No, I don't.
There's a bunch of them, and it's real hard to get it down to the right one. But just in general, they actually give you like, oh, you're close, you're within the series. You get like a, you know, red, which means you got it wrong. A yellow, meaning you're within the series, but not the right one. And then the green. It's really fun. It just gives you the, you know, a daily puzzle with screenshots. You miss the first screenshot, and then it gives you a second screenshot, and all the way up to six. And it's been going for, we're on day
726.
726.
So a few years running now.
Two years running?
Yeah.
You guys are killing me tonight.
This was kind of brought to us by a fan of the show. So it's a fun little puzzler. You know, just hang out and kind of, you know, putz around with a couple of screenshots here and just enjoy. So,
what's your preferred method of playing? Phone?
Yeah.
I've been playing on my desktop when I'm working.
But... I prefer the phone. It's a good phone thing. Just pull up on your browser. It formats
well. Yeah, I've got a tab open that I just refresh every day.
Ooh. Sounds refreshing.
So, shout out to this, shout out to GuessTheGame. It's a fun little product.
Go play it right now.
Yeah.
Alex will give you the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Day one was easy, Getty. You should go back and do that one.
Which one?
Day one?
Day one.
Ooh. It's a long time ago.
Yep.
Back to day one.
Almost like 2 years ago.
What if I went through and played them all?
Do it.
Won't happen.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Alex is going to do it right now as we try and end the podcast. Nope. We'll transition over to our final segment of the night. One last thing. And tonight's one last thing is brought to you by misappropriation of company assets. But we're not going to do a conventional one last thing tonight. Tonight, we found out that you can determine how much you have spent on Steam over the course of your account's history. And we, I think this is against most of our better judgment, but we're going to tell you how much we've spent on Steam over the years.
I saw it and it really upset me.
Steam has been around for a very...
Can I tell you guys something?
What?
Yes,
I have more than all of you.
Yeah, I'm banking on it, as a matter of fact. I'm really hoping
really
so.
Upsetting.
Okay. So this is the game. It's called How Much Money Have I Spent on Steam? I normally go first, so I will go first. My total... $3,268.50.
Now, how old is your account? How many years do you have?
Can we find that out?
You can find it out, I believe, if you go to your profile?
Yes.
Okay,
hold on. I'm navigating over to my profile to figure out...
I'm going to screenshot this so I can then cry later.
How many years I have been on here. Let's see.
What is it?
Oh, geez, 10 years.
Only 10?
My account is 10 years.
Oh.
Okay. Alex says that he has the most. I think I want to make him go last.
I think so.
All right, Alec.
I know for a fact I have the most.
All right. No, so my account is 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 217 games for context.
Wait, how many games?
217.
Oh, maybe that's why. Well, I have a lot more. Okay.
And I have spent $2,130.51.
Where's the date again when your account was made?
Yeah, I'm not finding that either.
Profile, it should just have, you should have a years of service badge.
Yeah.
Years of service.
Is it supposed to be on the front? I see Vampire Survivor.
Oh, I see it. Okay, yep, got it.
Oh. All right. Yep.
All right. Okay.
That was very Joel? Good listening, guys. Sorry about that. So,
what do you got?
Help, Steam support, my account. Data related to my Steam account. So, my profile has been open for 18 years, it looks like.
Ooh.
External funds used. Should I be adding total spend and old spend, or is...
Just total.
$1,927.80.
Not bad. Kind of wonder how many games you've got too.
I have more than all of you.
I know, and I'm really excited for this. But hold on, I'm just trying to gauge. You know what? That's fine. I know that Alex also has the most games out of all
Alex
of us.
Alex is on the verge of going to confession.
I guess the question that we're going to answer is, do you have more than all of us combined? And I hope that that's not the case. All right, Alex.
The answer is yes.
How many years?
12 years. 12, 13, okay. Going on 13.
And?
it's more than all of you combined.
No way. There's no way.
How much is it?
Guess the number.
Is it 12,000?
No. Wait, how much? Joel's one. Alex
was two.
And then I'm three.
Getty was...
3,000.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna guess eight.
Okay.
I'll say 7.5.
We doing prices right here?
I don't know.
Let's see. Well, everyone went over. How about that?
Okay.
Oh, that's not too
bad. Oh,
so but Getty was closest.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
It's 7. And I have 6,000 games.
6,000 games?
Boy. Yes.
That's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games.
I mean, that's like only, that's less than $1 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is that it's whenever, like, there's, whenever there's the, like, the bundles or anything like that, I just, like, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna buy, like, you know, 10 games for $20, and I'm like, well, I'll probably do that. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, all right. Like, I'll buy this a bundle of, like, you know, 20 games or whatever, or, like, 10 games or whatever, and then I'm like, well, I'm gonna play one of those. That one game looks pretty good.
It's also worth noting, many, many years ago, Steam sales used to be very generous.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very generous. So there was a point where I was buying stuff just because, hey, it's on sale. I might play it.
I was looking, and you know you can go back and look at all of your purchases. There were, like, times, 2017, I was looking, and I got 5 games for $4. Yeah. I was like,
oh, man.
Well, okay. What happened, Steam? I thought we were cool.
Yeah, even now it's like my bar has risen a little bit. Where I'm like, okay, am I actually realistically gonna play this? Because I don't want
to. Oh, you're not gonna play it. Let's not joke.
I don't want to spend $20 for like 7 games, and I want one of those games.
Would there be a point on your Steam library that you would just grab a game and then select remove from library? Excuse me.
Or do you mean, like,
delete it entirely?
Just because it's like I played it and I was like, this was not like this was such a forgettable experience that I just don't feel like I need to even. It's just making my list longer.
I mean, I have mine sectioned off into how many games I beat, how many demos I have saved.
Yep.
So, how many I didn't finish and then uncategorized. I need to clean this up a little bit here.
Me too. Yeah. Right now I'm at like over 150 beat games, but that's like really low compared to 6,000 games.
It's real low.
But I haven't updated this at all, so I should probably update this.
All right. All right. Well,
now we just feel dirty.
That was a fun one last thing, and we all need to shower.
It was not fun for me.
I mean,
I didn't need that in my brain.
I was a close second, so.
Alec brought this up pre-podcast. Like, he's like, hey, do you guys know you could do this? And I go, I don't need that information. And you made me have that information.
Yeah.
You do need it. You know it.
You know that you need it.
I didn't need any of that.
Day one, Alex. Day one. It adds up. I know. All right. That'll be it for this week's episode of Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on X, formerly Twitter, at Super GG Radio, and twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where Thursdays, much like tonight, you can find us making absolute fools out of ourselves. Come, stay a while, chat, throw insults at us in the chat. That's how I thrive. Please, we need friends.
All of our podcasts are secret podcasts.
Wednesdays, you can join Alex as he plays Monster Hunter, and he comes to the thrilling conclusion of, I'm never going to remember what this is called. Dawnfather?
Sunbreak. It's Sunbreak.
Sun Sword. He's playing something. So come check it out. He's really in the tedious part now. And then, Joel, what are we going to do with you?
Watch me play Vampire Survivors.
No, I want you to say what it's...
Until what?
I want you to say that you're going to do it whenever the fuck you want.
No, I owe enough Lion King as it is, okay?
It's not a word. I added an R in it. It's fine.
Does it count if people know what you're trying to say?
No.
We're going the good place rules.
Oh, yes.
Real words only. And that's not a real
Joel,
word.
Joel, you're on a show called Fork and Forker.
I sure am. I don't choose the names. That's all I'm saying.
I don't do it. I just attribute everything to it.
I just participate in the bad choices.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Joel will be doing Vampire Survivors whenever he wants.
No, you can't stop being the bad guy until somebody cares. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, we all care, but we're worried about you, man.
Thanks.
You just need to pick a game that you enjoy being the bad guy in.
I don't know that he enjoys being the bad guy. That's the main problem.
Oh.
No. The main problem is it's a lot easier for me to have Vampire Survivors on and just running it whenever, because it's a very easy, like, I'm going to play a good half hour to an hour. I'll put it on break, have that nice content warning thing up for a while, so we've got no liability issues, and then I can feel less guilty about playing it. So.
Seems like a cop-out, but all right. We'll save that for another night. Okay, if you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is mail@superggradio.com and provide us a review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening, and good game, Alex. Good game, Joel.
Good game.
Good game, Alec.
GG.
I got nothing this week. You get nothing from me.